For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This morning we spoke concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh. We sent that this thorn was sent by God to defeat and to curtail personal pride. For Paul had been lifted into the heights and seen and heard things that it was not lawful for a man to utter. God had to give him a thorn in his flesh to humble him, to keep him from exalting himself before men and being exalted by men, but also to humble him in his own heart. We said that he prayed for this thorn to be removed. It was painful. But the thorn was not removed. And you will remember that we said that there had been much debate concerning that thorn. There's been debate even between these two services, between some of us, about what that thorn might be. And the truth is, we don't know. And we shared this morning by saying that it's good that we don't know, because if it was specifically mentioned, then we would perhaps think that, well, God's grace was only sufficient for that particular thorn. And clearly the scriptures teach that God's grace is sufficient for everything and for all. Particularly, God's grace is sufficient unto salvation by Christ Jesus. It is by grace that we are saved. And we share, didn't we, that in the day-to-day living of our earthly lives, still grace is given. And God gives grace, as the hymn writer says, as our burdens grow greater. Grace upon grace. We are so blessed, we as believers who are under that covenant of grace. Those of us who are in the state of grace by faith in Jesus Christ. We are beneficiaries of grace, both now and even into eternity. We shared that we all have thorns that perhaps we would like to be rid of. But perhaps our prayers remain unanswered for their removal for our good, as indeed was the case with Paul. It was for his good that his thorn remained. And at times we need to be ready to accept our painful thorns. We ended by saying this wonderful truth, that no thorn can ever cause us to miss the glories of heaven if we are in Christ Jesus. I quoted you at the beginning of the sermon, that wonderful quote, that grace is the gold ring, and Christ the sparkling diamond in that ring. Truly in him, in Christ, we have all things. And the fullness of God's grace may now be poured out upon us. His unmerited love, his unmerited favour, may in all its fullness be poured out upon his believing people. For Christ felt the full amount of wrath, the full wrath of God, that we might be able to experience and know the full love of God, the grace of God in Christ our Lord. And I said this morning, and I said it this afternoon, we're going to look at that second portion of that wonderful phrase, that verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee. That was this morning. But this afternoon, let us look at this, the continuing phrase. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And again, as is my wont, my way, we'll break it into small chunks. I need things to be kept small if I'm to keep up and to follow them. I hope that's acceptable to you that we look at it this way. But as we begin, we'll look at even just one word. The word for. My grace is sufficient for thee, for. Now this word, of course, refers us back to that which has already been said. My grace is sufficient for thee. It's God's eternal grace, God's full grace in Christ that we need if we are to experience the truth of God's strength being made perfect even in our weakness. We said this morning there is a common grace that the world and men are under. But we're speaking of particular grace, this covenant of grace between God the Father, God the Son, whereby they entered into agreement that Christ would come to save God's people, the elect, from their sins. And those believing people are they that are in this state of grace, they're beneficiaries of grace, this covenant of grace. And it's this grace we need. This grace. If we're to experience something of God's strength being made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, this truth can only really be applied to those who are beneficiaries of the covenant of grace. Let us make that very clear as we begin. Those who are in the state of grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, is your faith in Christ this afternoon? Is your faith in Christ alone? Is He your hope and your only hope of peace with God and an eternity with Him? Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ, by faith in Him crucified. For, it begins, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. Now this morning we spoke of my grace. And now we speak of my strength. It's easy to misread this verse, isn't it? Very easy to read it quickly and not to see exactly what is being said. You see, it is not the case that our strength is made perfect in weakness. I think that's a great mistake that many people make. It is not that our strength is made perfect. It is God's strength that is made perfect. My strength, says God. Worth noting that the word rendered here, and your pastor is a Greek scholar, and I say these things after double checking and quadruple checking, that the Greek word that is here is the word strength, is that Greek word dunamis. It's that word that's used in the scriptures to express the power of God. It's of course the word from which we've received the word dynamite, dunamis. And God says, my power, my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's a marvelous thing to consider. That the God would have His strength in some manner made perfect in weak and frail human beings. Doesn't that cause you to stop and just ponder for a moment? Why, God? Why would you want your strength, your power, to be made perfect in such a vessel as I? We said this morning, Paul's thorn was given to humble him. But we said there was more there, didn't we? It taught him to rely upon his God, to lean upon his God, to rest in his God. Matthew Henry says this, to whom God makes low in their own eyes, and where God gives grace to be humble, There he gives all other needful grace. Where God makes you humble, where God gives grace to make you humble, even by a thorn, as Paul had a thorn, he will not end it there. He will not cease there. He will not stop there in his dealings with you. No, he would give you all other needful grace. And God says here, my strength, my power is something I wish to make perfect in you. Now, we must be very careful how we understand this, because God's strength, God's power, is perfect already, isn't it? God is already perfect in power and strength. What can this mean? What is being said here? Grace signifies to us, of course, two things. Firstly, it says that God wills our good, our eternal good. We said this morning, we by the grace of God shall enter into eternity. But today, in our temporal existence, still we're in the grace of God. He is blessing us. He is giving us his love in Christ. He is giving us his unmerited favor through Christ. He wills our good day by day, moment by moment. All good gifts. And all things work together for good at the hand of God. God wills our good. But secondly, he not only wills our good externally, but also internally in the heart. You see, God is at work in you and I. God is at work by his Spirit in you and I to make us good. You see, by nature we are not good. There is none that do good. No, not one. God has prepared good works for us to do, though we be not good in ourselves. So they wonder Christ says you must be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God would change the heart. And the Spirit himself would take up residency in that heart to begin that good work, to carry on that good work of sanctification, to set us apart for God and for his purposes, and to cause us to do good works and to live in accordance with the will of God. Yes, God wills our good in the day-to-day and the round about us, but he also wills good for us in our very hearts. He works to make us good, that we would do good works. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, says the Scripture. Why would God want his strength made perfect in the likes of me? Because it's his plan and his purpose to do so. For he knows that of myself and apart from him I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Do you see? It is therefore an astonishing and glorious and wonderful truth that you and I must, and we must try so hard. I know it's so that we have to work at, but friends, we should revel in these things and rejoice in these things day by day. When we wake in the morning, are we mindful of the very grace of God in which we stand? Do we give God all the thanks and all the praise as we rise in the morning that we are trophies of his grace? In a state of grace by faith, beneficiaries of the grace of God in fullness in Christ Jesus. And then do we stand and do we go forth into the day believing that in us is the very Spirit of God, the power of God, the very dunamis of God. And God seeks that that power be made perfect in us, that we would live for him and work for him and do good around us and for those we meet day by day. Dear friends, there is so much for us to be thankful for and so much for us to anticipate day by day. When this is who we are, weak vessels filled with the very power, the dunamis of God, that in our weakness, his strength would be made perfect. But there's a little more. You see, for God's strength to be made fully perfect in us, it is not really a case of degree. We must acknowledge this, that it is made perfect only when, and only completely made perfect when, you and I, by the Holy Ghost, give to God all the thanks and praise and glory due unto His name for the strength we possess. I think I've said this here once before, but it's a thought that I cannot get away from. I am so quick to condemn myself for my failings, and I am so slow to praise God for all my successes. And that is to my shame. For I should turn to my God at every moment when I find myself strengthened even in the face of my own weakness, and give Him all the praise and all the glory due for that strength supplied. For there, you see, is His strength being made perfect in me. Why? Because I'm returning all the glory to Him and I'm taking none for myself. What did we say about Paul this morning? He would not glory in himself. He would not have men glory in him. He said, I'll glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Dear friend, do you condemn yourself day by day for your weaknesses and your failures? And forget to give God all the praise and all the glory that is due unto Him for your successes and your obediences. You see, if God would leave me to myself for even but a moment, I would fall into sin and fall away. Dear friend, but that can't happen to me or to you if you are a believer this morning, this afternoon. Because you see, you're in the grip of grace. And praise God, our faith is not about how tightly we hold on to God. The truth of it is, it's all about how tightly He holds on to us. And that is why He deserves every inch and every ounce of our praise and our thanksgiving. When we find ourselves strengthened within by the Holy Ghost, that we would do good and even keep His commandments to His glory. My strength, He said, is made perfect in weakness, do you see? Acknowledge your weakness, friend. Acknowledge your weakness day by day. Be humbled under the hand of God. Confess to Him your weakness. And even, dare I say, glory in your infirmities. For you see, when you are weak, by the grace of God, by the power of God, you are strong. You are strong when by faith you believe that God will do all that He has promised to do, and you give Him all the glory due unto His name as He fulfills His promise to you. You know, there's an illustration. It's a true story, I understand, of a minister who went through terrible suffering and pains in his life. I won't go into the details, but he suffered much in his heart, great sorrows and distresses that brought him to his knees in tears in his living room by his hearth. And he cried out to God, and he cried out to God that He would alleviate his suffering and his pain. And he looked up to the mantelpiece, and there was a card that someone had sent to encourage, and it said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And this minister cried out with all that he had in him, "But it's not true. Lord, it's not true. Your grace isn't sufficient. Look at me. Your strength isn't being made perfect in my weakness. Look how weak and feeble I am in my sorrow. It's not true." And then it dawned on him. It dawned on him how foolish he had been. And he rose from his knees and he read it again. And he said, "Forgive me, Lord. Thy grace is sufficient for me. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness." And in faith believing, he got up and he walked into the world, ready to give God all the praise and all the glory that was due unto his name for fulfilling that promise in him. And it was then, when he took God at his word, that he found that he was strengthened. Dear friends, do we forget to take God at his word in times of sorrow and weakness? I must confess, and I hold up my hands to you all this afternoon, I do it all the time. In my weakness, I forget that the only strength I possess in me and only good that I have in me is Christ and his Spirit in me. And it is to my shame that I forget to give God all the glory for that which I achieve and the goodness which I sometimes perform. But I do know this. My Bible says that his strength is sufficient for me. It must be true. And that his strength may be made perfect in my weakness. And I must believe it is so. And as I walk by faith and not by sight, I am sure that I will see that truth revealed, and I shall praise his name for all that he does in me, in strengthening me, even by his Spirit, his power. Matthew Henry again, if I may quote him once more. This is how he puts it. God gives strength from the Spirit of God in the inner man. Strength in the soul. The strength of faith. To serve God. And to do our duty. There are times, you know, dear friends, when we cry out to God for relief and release. For our own benefit. And we forget that at times we need that thorn, that prick, that pain that we feel perhaps for the benefit of someone else. If we are to be comforted and then comfort others, we must first need comforting. How good it is that in all our afflictions and sorrows we have a God who cares and loves us unconditionally. That he would wish and desire to strengthen us with his own strength in the inner man. That we might walk even through and above our infirmities and sorrows for the benefit of others. So that when they come to their place of suffering, we might draw alongside them and tell them the truth that we know. God's grace is sufficient. I can testify to that. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. I know it to be true. You know, Paul learned contentment, didn't he, in all his circumstances? He learned it. He learned it. And you will know from the letters that he wrote that he suffered much in the body. Many troubles and trials and tribulations were his. But he said, "I've learned contentment, whatever is my lot, whether I be with much or little, I've learned contentment." But he had to learn that. And what he learned was that when he had nothing, he had everything. And he learned that when he was weak, then he was made strong. He learned that the more there was of Christ, there needed to be less of him. And so it is with us. Friends, we need weakness if we would see the strength of God made perfect in us. For it is in weakness that we find ourselves the most dependent upon him. And it is in weakness that we find ourselves closest to him, as we draw nigh with all urgency, crying out to him in prayer. So we may summarize then in this manner. When we receive the power of God by the Holy Ghost to either refrain from evil or to do that which is good, if God's strength is to be made perfect in this manner, in our weakness, all the glory must be given back to God through Christ Jesus. And I charge you therefore, and I charge myself also for the coming days, that as we believers are beneficiaries of the covenant of grace, as we are those that are the loved of God, in the unmerited favour of God by Christ Jesus, because we are those which are both saved and sanctified, because we are those blessed with blessing upon blessing, good thing upon good thing by the very hand of God, because we are in that state of grace, let us believe that that grace is sufficient for us in the day to day and even forever into eternity. Let us give God all the thanks for this grace through Jesus Christ, and give Christ all the praise for all that he has achieved for us and all that we have received from him. And let us go forth believing that as that grace is sufficient for all and for all circumstances, that the very fullness of Christ will be poured out upon us. When we need more of Christ, Christ is given. When we need more of grace, it is ours. Dear friend, let us go forward then believing that grace is sufficient for today and for tomorrow and forever. And then, as we go forth in faith believing, let us also believe that it is God's will and God's plan and God's purpose that his believing people, though they be weak as worms, as we have sung, that as they plead with God and pray unto him and praise his name, as they go forth into the world, walking by faith and not by sight, that his very strength, by the Holy Ghost who indwells, would be made perfect, even in our weakness, as we do good by him and give glory to him for all that we achieve and do in his name. And I hesitate to say my final comment, because when it occurred to me, it scared me. And I really didn't know what to do with myself when it first was made clear. As I said to you this morning, we only speak of one thorn in Paul's case, but I do believe he had more than one. We're only interested in that one thorn for this study, but we know that he had many physical ailments, and we know that he suffered much in the body externally because of his circumstances. And he prayed for that thorn to be removed, and God said no. Well, it occurred to me that I prayed many times for my many thorns to be removed. And the one thing I hadn't done was acknowledge before God that what I actually may need, apart from his grace, is another thorn. You see, Paul's thorn was given to humble him. And God gave Paul that thorn. Dare I say it? Lord, if I need another thorn, and grant me that thorn, that I might be weak enough to see thy strength made perfect even in me. And so I say it very carefully again. Friend, do you need to pray for a thorn rather than one removed? Let's pray. Almighty God, if we were not under grace, if we were not in one with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were not beneficiaries of the covenant of grace, and if we did not stand this day in thine unmerited love and full favour, we would dare not ask for such a thing as a thorn. But Lord, we confess that we know our hearts only too well. And Lord, there is much that thou needst to do in each one of us, that we would be prepared and ready to meet thee, and to perform those duties and tasks and good works that thou hast prepared for us to do in this lifetime. And Lord, this preacher therefore prays that as he knows his heart, and as he knows there is much to be done, this preacher dares to ask for another thorn. And may it be true for each one of us, O Lord, that if that thorn is given, we would remember that thy grace is sufficient, and that even in our weakness, thy very strength and power might be made perfect in us. Lord, we would give thee all the glory for that which thou wilt give and do. Whatever that may be, we seek thy will to be done, and thy will alone. For Lord, whilst we see our hearts, thou knowest them altogether better. And we lay ourselves down before thee afresh. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices unto thee. Lord, use us for thy glory. Thy will be done. In Christ's name. Amen.